What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. I might have been last night for the two-point instant reaction show. It was a pretty flat outing for the Saints in Philadelphia. Many Saints fans are overreacting, some of them taking to yelling obscenities into microphones right after the game. I don't know why anybody would do such a thing. And while there's very little in the way of good news from this weekend, we can rest assured that we'll try to find a little bit more meaningful explanation for what happened in the main episode. Or maybe we'll just kind of expand on what Scott, Jason, and Ben brought up in the two-point conversion instant reaction show. Well, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I do not have a number. We're recording kind of early in the afternoon, and I'm still working, so...
James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also a zero. 10 p.m. Good. Here. Monday night. Not really a drinking night unless there's a game on. So, yeah, it's a zero for me, too.
All right. Well, you know, it's pretty much the level of effort that we got from Andrus Pete. So, we'll get to that in the game recap. Saints lose a game that, even as poorly as they played, they could have won, but they just played too poorly throughout. Never seemed to be able to capitalize on any kind of momentum that they gained. I don't know, guys. I mean, do we go right off the gate and talk about Taysom? Because that seems to be everybody's point of contention. And I will say that yesterday for the two-point conversion, I did get in there and I yelled and I blamed him. I was mad. And that's why we, like Scott said the week before, it's an instant reaction. And then we sleep on it. We let things settle, marinate a little bit. We come back with cooler heads. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced he's the heir apparent, but I'm not as mad at him. I am mad at him for not making that throw. And I know Dave at the BS and Beer Saints podcast will argue that he did not have a chance to see. Was it Dave that was making
that? No, that was James.
Oh, James. Okay, so let's talk about that throw, James. I am mad that he didn't make that throw on fourth down to Michael Thomas, who was wide open.
Right, okay. So from what I can tell and from the stories that I've read today, the play was a rollout to the right, and it was intended to be a shot play to Emmanuel Sanders down the field, who was matched up against the linebacker. And from what I can see from watching the game back, had him beat, and he didn't pull the trigger on the downfield throw. The
classic Michael Thomas, Taysom.
Yeah, the Michael Thomas part of it. We had quite a heated debate about it earlier on in our group chat about it, where everybody was getting quite technical. There was screen grabs and
pupils shift slightly left.
There were screen grabs there was drawings on screen grabs and all sorts. But basically, Taysom Hill looked as though he looked to his left and towards Michael Thomas. But then when you play the video at full speed, he's about to get absolutely smashed by the defensive end from Philadelphia. So we decided to pull the ball in and not make the pass to Michael Thomas.
Do you believe he saw Michael Thomas?
I think he did see him, but he was about to be hit.
Drew would have watched the video, right?
Drew probably would have seen it earlier.
Yeah, Drew would have known where everybody was going to be on the field. And he might have even... Well, first of all, if Drew's quarterback, they're not going to do a rollout play. I mean, more than likely. That's a straight-up Taysom play to get him more time because the O-line as we know, was shitty. But if there was a rollout like that, Drew knows where everybody is. Drew probably would have seen him or thrown to him. On that particular play, and if it was supposed to go to Sanders, Sanders was running basically a go route and had a linebacker cover him. So on for any kind of short yardage play, it's kind of like when you're by the goal line too. When you get the ball, you got to get it out your hands. You can't sit there and wait and wait and wait. It's
Taysom's doing that more often.
Yeah, it's a bang bang play. You've got to get it off. And I don't even know why you would call that play. Yeah, I don't even know why you would call that play to Sanders because Michael Thomas is known as Slant Boy.
That goes back, but that even goes back to Sean Payton's play calling. It's fourth down. Why are you not giving Taysom Hill his safety valve in Michael Thomas being a hot route or the number one read? But going back to it again, all right, so he rolls, he looks left, and he sees the defensive end coming at him, and he chose to pull it down or not throw it in favor of continuing over to the right side. Okay, first of all, what it speaks to is his decision making. He's frozen in indecision all too often. This was a play. I see the guy in my face. Scott, you've said it before. His natural instinct is to tuck and run, not to get it to the open guy. A running back sees that defender coming. A quarterback sees the open receiver past the defender to where you can just volley it right over the defender's head. Take the hit. You're a tough guy. Take the hit, volley it over. Michael Thomas Scott has 15 yards between him and the nearest football player on the entire field. That's a first down right there. That, and I'm not saying Taysom Hill should not be allowed to play anymore like I was last night. I think these are the growing pains of a developing quarterback that we are going to deal with if he continues to play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And we need to remind ourselves to be patient with that because we're not watching Drew Brees. That's where I've landed on
It's youth. It's inexperience, not youth. He's 30, but it's more so compared to Drew. Yeah. Compared to Drew. It's mostly inexperience, you know, and he'll learn from and move on. I don't know. Like, so when we got Drew, he'd already been with San Diego for what, 2, 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
4 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, 5 years.
4 years. And he had started those years.
Right.
You know, I almost don't want to have to deal with the youth of a quarterback. Like, I want somebody like a free agent to come in, like a Stafford or a Dak to come in and already know that already had, you know, his lumps with another team and his go through his growing pains that way than to deal with it again. No, I don't know. I don't know that he's learned from his mistakes. Like, yeah, veteran quarterbacks. Oh, last year he threw what, 30 interceptions? And how many years had it been?
Unfair. In that,
how many years have you been in the league?
Bruce Arians' offense fault. That is not Jameis, all on Jameis Winston.
That's look at what it's done. Look at what that offense has done to Tom Brady this year.
And you also like Taysom Hill's good for at least a turnover or at least a drop every game.
Fumble.
Yeah, fumble. This time he threw an interception on top of it.
Yeah. That was a ridiculous throw. On a screen pass, you do not throw it like you are Randy Johnson pitching in the World Series.
Right. Yeah, he threw it way too hard.
I mean, Randy Johnson's going back a bit further than, you know.
It was a panic throw. You know what I mean? And he was feeling the pressure. So, all right, let that segue into the offensive line. You know, we say this about Taysom, but the reality is you're asking a developing quarterback to develop behind what seems to be a wet paper towel.
Yeah, the offensive line had a bad game. We kind of talked about, I think, last week that just the interior of the O-line seems to be falling apart, you know, and that was something that we were supposed to have addressed in the offseason. And I guess they thought they did by giving Pete all that money, but he's been playing like shit the past few games. I don't know. And it was good today. I think, Jeff, you kind of said in our chat that, you know, Peyton called him out and said, Pete had a bad game. He's got to play better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of uncharacteristic for Peyton to call out a specific player. So maybe that gets him motivated and gets him moving. You know, I'd rather lay a dud now than in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's unusual for Peyton to call a player out by name.
I wonder if Peyton knows Pete, like he knows Pete well enough. Obviously he knows Pete well enough. That's not going to have the other side effect that, you know, anytime any coach usually calls a player out, it causes worse problems. And that's why Sean Peyton never does. But the fact that he calls Pete out by name tells you how disgruntled he is. Makes me feel better that our head coach is letting us know that, dudes, I see it, guys, don't, which makes me less frustrated about it. Like, I actually have a more forgiving attitude toward Pete's performance because I know Sean Payton's got it. Sean has let me know he's got it. All right, you got this, Sean. I'm a back off. I'm not going to say nothing about Pete. Now, the rest of those months.
You know, the defense had a decent game. They really didn't get any pressure on Hurts at all. A lot of that, I guess, has to do with him being more mobile.
Well, they got the ball.
He definitely got the ball up quick.
And the quick release.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and it's, I think I said this yesterday, it's kind of funny because that's what we have. Well, we have kind of a running quarterback, so I would have thought that we would have been a little bit better prepared for that.
Sean Payton knows how to stop his own quarterback, right? Surely.
Yeah. I mean, they gave up 17 in the first half, but after that, they clamped down for a good while before giving up, yeah. I think, what,
another touchdown? Another
touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was just one of those games where just it was a whole team loss.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't really point to one specific person. It's just a whole team loss. And, you know,
I'm sorry to cut you off. They did to us what Denver was trying to do when we played Denver.
Yeah.
You know, run. I mean, they didn't ask Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. They asked him to run the ball. He
right.
Granted 30 pass plays to 18 runs.
I mean, and you would have to think that would be a game plan with his first start to try to control the clock, keep our offense off the field and run the ball. So why you don't prepare for that, I don't know. You know, we lost our 100-yard rushing streak in major fashion by giving up 200-yard rushers, in Hurts and Sanders.
The best way to do it, though. I mean, if you're going to fail spectacularly.
Yeah. Yes, well, they did.
It's the Saints' way of doing it, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember too much about the refereeing, the officiating. Was it fair and balanced, or was it
I'm being a Saints fan, kind of maybe see it differently. I don't think it was. Let me look up.
Exactly, there was a blatant. There was Taysom Hill got smacked in the head with one play that wasn't called. I think Kamara was given a face mask that wasn't called at one point.
Yeah. And came off the field bleeding, like he was spitting blood out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
The onside kick at the end looked like we recovered it to begin with.
Yeah, but in a pile up like – I mean, I agree, but in a pile up like that, it's whoever doesn't, you know, let go of the ball.
Craig Robertson had a free shot at that and just dived over the ball.
Yeah.
You know, had he recovered that, we might be having a very different. Well, we probably wouldn't be having a very different conversation tonight, but we'd be a lot freaking happier.
Right.
So we had 8 penalties for 52 yards. They had 6 for 27. Okay.
But there was a BS call.
There was a holding call that they missed on.
Oh, remember
it was like
back touchdown,
back to back plays. It was a holding call, and there was a block in the back that they missed on back to back plays.
That Alshon Jeffrey touchdown where he pushed off a little bit on where Lattimore fell to the ground. Everybody said Lattimore
that first touchdown.
Yeah, shouldn't have hit the ground on that play. But I get why they didn't throw it, but instead they threw roughing the passer on the Saints on that play.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close.
And it wasn't, passer. Right. But if they're not going to call it when Taysom gets hit.
No, of course not.
So, whatever. In the head.
We've been on the end of worse refereeing performances. Put it that
That's
way.
Right. That's how like we don't remember this. Like this one was bad enough for a normal team, but for the Saints, we're like, I think that was a pretty fairly called game. There was only 4 no calls on the Saints. All right. So Jalen Hurts did not really impress in his arm. It was his legs that beat us. You know, we talk about Taysom Hill. Let's see, Kamara. We didn't see but 4 runs from Latavius Murray. So this is the second game in a row that we don't see him. He's got to be hurt. He's got to be nursing something.
I mean, something's going on. I mean, why would you even put him on the field at all if he was hurt?
I think like, you're going to see more of him next weekend.
We've been saying that ever since he had that big game.
Yeah,
they haven't used him hardly at all.
Mm-hmm. I just think this game coming up, and we'll talk about it when we get to that point. We're going to be very run heavy. Okay. Clock control. Anyway, we'll cover that when we get to that part of the show.
Another thing I want to point out: Traquan's inconsistency with being able to catch the ball is starting to get a little aggravating.
Jeffy blocks really well. Don't forget that.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, Jeff was yelling at the TV, or as we were watching the game, about Traquan. He was not happy.
He was yelling in the group chat during the game as well.
Yeah,
that too.
When he dropped one, I'm like, got him. I don't care if he blocks good. Later on, he catches a great first down. That's why you keep him on the team, and he blocks well. Then he misses one. Got him. I was that fan yesterday. I was like, every play warranted the different reaction.
But, you know, we were due, I guess, like Jason says, we always have one of those dud games. Yep. And we had it. That is for sure. We had it. But, hey, we're still 10-3. We're still in the playoffs. We still can win the division. We still can sweep the division. I would say the number one seed is probably gone.
We need to win out.
I think we would need to win out.
Tennessee might be the only game that Green Bay might struggle in.
But, you know, I mean, Green Bay could have a bad game too, you know, any given Sunday. So, yeah. But wouldn't they need to have 2 bad games? Wouldn't they need to lose twice, basically? Because they have the tiebreaker over us.
If they lose, well, yeah, but we're both 10-3. So,
oh, they're 10-3 too. I thought they had another.
We're both 10-3.
Or 11-2. Okay. So yeah, we would need to win out, and they would need to lose. So stranger things have happened. It's 2020, so we'll see. Yeah.
I mean, the big thing would be the bye and having the week off. But you know, I don't think home field advantage in the playoffs is going to count for anything this year.
Unless you have to go to Lambeau in January.
Weather-wise.
Yeah,
we might be built for that type of game with running the ball. I said might.
Maybe
the way we ran against Denver.
Yeah, with Murray
present. We'll see what happens. We'll get to next week or later on in the show. For right now, let's get into a little NFL reach around.
The Steelers have been found out.
Yeah, so they played a good team, and look what happened. We all said it, and
I think Buffalo were going to be
I think Buffalo just earned a lot. They already had respect going into that game, but they just, I think, shot up there to like.
They don't have Brady in their division anymore, so time for them to start winning again, I guess.
Right. So that's all it was.
That's what it was. It was Brady. He was their kryptonite.
Yep. Falcons lost to the Chargers.
Did you watch the last couple of minutes of that game?
I did not.
So it was a tie. The Chargers had the ball. Herbert threw a pick. Minute 30 seconds left. Falcons got the ball. Ryan threw a pick. Chargers went down, kicked field goal, won the game. Awesome. It was literally the most, well, like, you can't even say it was the most Falcon thing to happen because it's about the fifth time this year they've done something like that. But yeah, it was,
Falcon's gonna Falcon. You know,
yeah, the two teams that choke leads the best both tried to give it away. but yeah, try and catch the last couple of minutes of the game. It was quite funny.
What's the deal Broncos with beat the Panthers. Cam Newton, too?
He sucks.
He's not very good.
So, but I thought when he went to New England, it was supposed to be kind of, right?
No.
Remember?
No,
remember, though?
No.
Everybody said. Okay. Because everybody said he was going to become.
And I think he got pulled, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think it was last week he got pulled.
But Belichick.
No, he got pulled this week too.
Which is weird because Belichick's come out now and says he's not ready to make a change at the quarterback position. I guess he means until the third quarter of every game.
I mean, they lost 24-3. Yeah, he got pulled. Stidham was 5 of 7, so he got pulled at the end of the game. Let's see. Panthers lost to the Broncos, and the Bucs did beat the Vikings.
The Vikings got trounced, right? I mean,
26-14.
Yeah, but they didn't score that last touchdown until like garbage time, I think. It's still not maybe trouncing, but 26, it was 26-7.
Well, they scored in the third quarter. It was their last touchdown, the Vikings.
Okay, still garbage time.
Right. I think we need to talk about the football team.
Yes, the one in Washington?
Yes, the football team.
Who traveled all the way to the West Coast and beat the 49ers 23-13 or 23-15. What is the what happened in Washington that turned them around midseason? Because they were, remember, they were the dumpster fire. Like it was like Washington, the Giants, the Jets, always Smith, Falcons. Maybe. And then, it's almost, I don't know. Yeah. So Washington and the Giants have both turned it around.
Well, the Giants were not very good yesterday.
Yeah.
I think Washington's big thing is their defense. Their defense is really good. They've got 3 first round picks on the defensive line, I think. Chase Young is a problem. I think his defense for the football team. I nearly called them the you know whats then.
Sweat is playing a good season.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody! Oh, hell yeah!
Ash, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Oh, I'm a 0, man. I'm depressed as a motherfucker, so I'm on the orange. I'm on orange pop.
Orange soda. Soda.
Yeah.
That's a first.
I was a high 9 by the end of the game, so I'm still depressed as fuck. Trust me.
Oh yeah. That's how bad this feeling is that even Ash is sober.
I'm sober and depressed, mate. That's the thing. I'm just fucking it's a fucking pain in the ass.
Well, we got our crisis. And in a way, like I wish it was, say, like next week. Now I want to win next week because I don't want to have 4 losses. But you get that loss in because Jason even alluded to, it's very hard to win 9-10 games in a row. And you imagine, like, the more we were winning, like, once you get into the playoffs, I mean, losing is not an option. So that's a win streak you're going to have to sustain as well. So I'd rather get that loss in and so it doesn't feel that mounting. You know, it's almost like a pressure cooker or a pot steaming kettle.
Well, the thing is Twitter all day today has been negative as fuck. And I'm like, we've got 10 wins for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? It's how many teams have got 10 wins? You know, we can't win every single fucking game. So if you're one of the listeners listening to this now who was bitching and moaning about Twitter, get your fucking, you know, get your bloody hand, put it in a ball and shove it up your ass. Good God almighty, the fucking negativity today over yesterday is fucking bullshit.
There's only 2 teams in the NFC that have 10 wins or more, and that's the Saints are one of them. And then there's three in the AFC with 10 wins or more. So, yeah, total of five teams. It's not even a full playoff bracket.
Nope.
So everybody, right, needs to simmer down. And I think the, if anything, the what's depressing about it is, again, like if we were going to lose, you lost to the three and whatever Eagles, like a horrible football team. You didn't lose to Kansas City, or you didn't like losing to Green Bay. I can swallow that pill. But the Eagles, really?
I think what the most depressing thing was the fact that, you know, Dougie P and all that, they were, you know, they were running it with Sanders and they were running it with Hurts, and it's like, stop him, and we'll go to it every time and stop him. We couldn't. I think that's what depressed me the most.
Just the fact that they didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was like at the end of the game, there was no hurry up. You know, they just like admitted defeat. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about for the game recap that we probably should have, and I meant to bring that up. I don't know what was going on at the end of the game. You know, there's that 4 or 5 minutes left.
6 minutes left, yeah.
And I mean, we're just like...
No tempo. You did bring that up in the 2-point.
No tempo. We're just kind of going in the huddle. I mean, it was like, what are y'all... Are y'all trying to win the game?
No.
Like, Jeff, I think Jeff told me, he was like, they're not trying to win. They're just trying to get out of this game without anybody hurt at this point. Like, that's what it seemed like.
But if they didn't want anybody hurt, then they may as well just put the fucking backups in.
And I'm curious as to if anybody asked. I didn't see anybody, any mention of that on the news or on Twitter. If anybody asked Peyton, why didn't y'all go tempo when y'all had the ball with 6 minutes left? We were down by what, 10 at that point?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
you need two scores. You need two scores. Yeah.
And one of them was a field goal. Now, right. Lutz didn't exactly do us any favors by missing his kicks, but.
Yeah, I mean, the whole field goal unit. I'm not going to blame Lutz per se. I'm going to say the whole.
Well, he's been off the past couple games.
Yeah, well, maybe it's Morstead. You guys talk to him, James. What the fuck?
Yeah, James.
I'm not having to blame for that one.
I wonder if Morstead's got a little too much distraction himself between his punting falling off a little bit and now his holding responsibilities. I mean, didn't he recently open a new business in New Orleans? And I don't know. But I will say, I mean, still love the guy. He's awesome. He's a great, if you're going to have a punter who can bench 500 pounds and.
But
that can kick and hold.
Yeah. I just don't get why we didn't go tempo or hurry up at the end of the game with 6 minutes left.
I don't know.
It made no sense at all.
I think the thing is with that, though, the tempo and the hurry up, is you know that when we're in tempo and hurry up, Drew's calling the plays on the field and Sean Payton doesn't get involved. And I don't know whether Taysom has that ability. But
they sped things up last week, I thought, for a minute.
They did. And, I mean, the plays come in from the heads, you know, into his helmet. They can line up and Payton can talk to him in his helmet until so many seconds are left on the play clock. On the, I think, right?
15 seconds. Yeah, 15 seconds.
Yeah, so... I mean, he can call him a play and do it real fast. Everybody lined up and, you know, Taysom sit in the back with his hands over his ears and getting the play. I don't know. It just didn't.
Yeah, but when Breeze is in and we go hurry up, there is none of that because Breeze is calling the plays as he sees the defense on the field, right. Isn't he?
Yeah.
And I just don't know whether Peyton trusts Taysom to run the offense.
Then he shouldn't fucking be out there. I'm sorry, then he shouldn't be out there. He shouldn't be out there if that's the case. You can't.
Yeah, but Breeze has been in that offense
sugarcoat shit.
16 years.
Well, he's a professional freaking quarterback.
Breeze was doing that from the day he got here.
Yeah, I mean, just if
in the NFL. For
and
that
I think Dave had said it. It's like, do you want a franchise quarterback or do you want a backup quarterback? Because
or even
he's
a developmental quarterback.
Yeah, he's not treating him like a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but there's also too much at stake. I mean, you can't ruin Drew Brees' final season by giving Taysom Hill the keys to the kingdom. Taysom Hill is a backup right now. No, don't. So maybe that's part of it. He's not going to treat him like a starter because he is a backup. He's filling the hole. He's keeping the seat warm for when the king returns. Next year, whole nother ballgame.
You knew Drew was going to be out. You knew Drew was going to be out for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So treat him like the freaking starter.
No, he doesn't want a quarterback controversy in the playoffs. This was all
really
intelligent design by Sean Payton. I'm going to make sure that these people do not call for Taysom Hill to start in the playoffs by making Taysom Hill look bad over and over and over again. Sean Payton's a genius.
That's what it is.
Thank you, Sean. Clearly, you know, next year Taysom's going to be, I mean, he's going to have a perfect QBR. He's going to be the league MVP. Just because Sean Payton's keeping him contained right now. It's strategic.
What drugs are you taking?
Hey, that's not snow. All right, let's see. Let's get into pick'ems. Jason's not here this week, but he did send us the games. Am I right? But real quick, let's check in on last week. Ash, you went 4-1. Ben went 2-3. Jason went 4-1. James, you went 4-1. Scott, you went 2-3, and I went 2-3. I had a bad week.
Which one didn't I? Which one did I?
James, you chose Kansas City, and Miami actually covered.
They covered, didn't they? Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
All right. And the larger league, I finally caught up with everybody and got all the records in. JTL is leading right now with a 600 winning percentage. He's 39-26, followed by me at 594. So I'm only like one or two games behind him. Ash, you're in third. You're one game behind me. So Ash and I was behind you. Now we flipped. So the Ash slide has begun, right?
Yes.
No. Although you went 4-1 this week. So fourth place is Carp, 2096, then James, then Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Jason, and Scott, kind of right there in the middle. Mordecai is 33-31. That's as close as we're going to get to a 500 record. So on the losing side of things, we have Big Easy Guy, John Davis, Douglas, Ben, and Neil, Sans Hobbs, Gerald Booty, the mailman, Christian Mino, Chris McGuire, and everybody else has missed too many games to even mention their names. All right, let's get into the next week. And also, Neil's tweet after those with the little girl missing the ball. That's what I was laughing at earlier when y'all were watching. If you couldn't figure out what I could not stop laughing. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I called him and Chris McGuire. It's like, what the fuck, lads? Come on.
Yeah, cool. Chris's record is also because he missed a few weeks, and then he's got like an 0-5 because of a miss, not because he chose. Yeah, but
13-46. Good God.
Well, he missed a lot of weeks. All right. I should probably just like put him on the not mentioned list. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this week's slate of games. I'll try and do my best Jason impression. The first game is Seattle Seahawks, who I don't even know what they did last week or last night.
They beat the Jets.
They beat the Jets. Whoop-dee-freak.
They put Geno Smith in halfway through the third quarter. That's how easy that was.
Okay. Well, guess what? They have a tougher assignment this week. They're traveling all the way over to the East Coast, Scott, to play against James's football team. This one is in Washington, as I just said, and Washington is a home dog. They're getting 5 points.
Five.
Yes, sir.
Jesus.
I'm gonna follow Scott's thinking about this of a West Coast team going to East Coast. So give me Washington football team.
I'm taking the football team there. Yep.
I'm gonna go against you two, and I'm gonna take the Redskins.
Scott, there's no, you can't say that on the show.
No.
Speaking of which, did y'all see the Cleveland Indians are dropping the Indians from their team as well?
Just seen it now.
There will be the Cleveland baseball team.
Are they really, Elian?
I think they're doing that for a little while, yes.
Oh, that's
they're doing. Awesome, I think they're doing it this year, and then they're going to announce the new name at the end of the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
That should keep it the baseball team. That should just be how things are from now on. All right. So everybody's taking Washington then, because I am also thinking Washington's defense is going to keep them in the game. They lose, but they cover. Next game is the New England Patriots, who do not have a quarterback controversy, according to Belichick. And they're going playing an interdivisional game down south in Miami. Miami, who's been known to beat the Patriots, even with Tom Brady every now and then, no matter how bad Miami is. But this time, Miami's actually good. So good, in fact, that they are favored by 2.5. When's the last time Miami was favored by 2.5 by any points over New England?
I'm surprised it's that low.
Well, if you think about the 3-point neutral field, or in a COVID year, 2.5 neutral, it's pretty much... I think
Give me Miami on that one.
Yeah, you know what? I'm having fun with this one. I'm taking Miami, and I'm going to enjoy my money.
Yeah, give me Miami on that one too.
Everybody's Miami?
Yes.
All right. Next game, Chicago Bears, who disappoint their fans every time they take the field, playing in Minnesota, another divisional game. So we're probably pretty much in mostly divisional games season right now. Minnesota coming off that big win against, or big loss against Tampa. I don't know what that did to Minnesota's playoff picture, but Minnesota is favored to beat the Bears by 3 points. -3 to Minnesota.
I saw what the Bears did to Houston yesterday.
Yeah, they beat them. 36-7, they beat them.
I think I'm going to take the Bears.
Let's see. They're both actually, yeah, they're both 6-7. Minnesota's loss. You're taking the Bears on this one?
Yep.
Interesting.
I think I'm taking the Bears too.
Did Minnesota lose any key players in this game?
No, I just don't think they're very good.
What about Scott's favorite player?
Joe Brady doesn't play for the Vikings. My second favorite player? Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson.
Jordan's brother. Jeff. Yeah, but I mean, that's all they have, really.
Okay.
I mean, they have Cook, I guess.
I'm taking Minnesota. I think they're better than the Bears.
Yeah, give me the purple yogurt slingers.
All right. Next game. This one is the team that just beat the Saints, Philadelphia, heading over to the unpredictable but usually bad Arizona Cardinals. Arizona, though, did win this week. They beat the Giants, though, so that's not saying much. Arizona at home, favored by 6.5. Now, with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback.
Give me Arizona because the Eagles lost about 6 players to injury on defense yesterday, 3 of which I think are out for the season.
Seem to make a difference against the Saints.
By that point, we didn't care.
I'm going to take Cardinals Arizona have a quarterback, too. Though.
Ooh.
That's true. Who can
cold.
Run?
Yeah, that's cold.
Who can run?
All right.
I'll take the Cardinals as well.
I'm taking the points. 6.5 is too many.
Give me the Cardinals.
All right. That's an Arizona four-way. Which brings us to our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's
a- And this one, it is very nice to welcome this team. Actually, both of these teams to the shitty game roster. That is the ever most hated San Francisco 49ers against the also most hated Dallas Cowboys. Whoa. I wonder if T.O. is going to come out and do a angel, snow angel on the star after season.
That's not snow, Joe.
Out of his, Did y'all see that, by the way? The tweet from CJ yeah. DJ to T.O.?
Yeah.
Put a face mask on or whatever.
Off guard.
All right. This one's in Dallas. San Francisco in Dallas. Dallas is getting 2.5 points.
Cowboys.
Man. I mean, San Francisco's 5-8. They're on a two-game losing streak. Dallas, on the other hand, is 4-9, and they won last week, right?
San Francisco didn't look good yesterday, but they then the Cowboys were playing the Bengals. So
right.
Give me the Cowboys at home.
All right, James is taking Dallas along with Ash.
I'm going to take the Niners.
I am too. And it's not just because you're taking it. But yeah, okay, so there's your slate of games, everybody. Let's read them again real quick. You can tweet us at Don't Patrol PCast with your picks before kickoff on noon, noon Central. And once you get them in, when I like them on Monday, that means I've recorded them. The games are Seattle at Washington. Washington is getting 5 at home. Then New England at Miami. Miami's giving up 2.5. Chicago at Minnesota. Minnesota's given up 3. Philadelphia at Arizona. Arizona is favored by 6.5. And then San Francisco at Dallas, with Dallas getting 2.5 points. That's going to do it for Pick'ems. Let's get into Saints preview. This week, the Saints. This is the game we all thought Drew Brees might return, but then we hear that he won't return.
Oh, no. We didn't hear that yet.
Rumor mill.
Rumor.
Right. I don't think he's coming back for this one. But yeah, we're playing against Kansas City here. I think before the Philadelphia game, we all felt even somewhat confident about Kansas being able to beat Kansas City. But I think, has that Eagles game shaken any of your confidence?
It's quite simple. We can't turn up like we did against the Eagles. Yeah, we have to have a complete opposite. We have to come out firing on all cylinders, hit the ground running, because Mahomes, Kelsey, you know, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill,
didn't Hill pull a hamstring yesterday?
Yeah, he came up gimpy at the end of the game. I guess it's something to kind of monitor during the week to see if
Mahomes
he plays
threw
or not.
Three picks yesterday. Was it 3 picks?
Yeah. I think so. Against the Dolphins, and Dolphins aren't, well, I mean, defensively.
No. I mean, the thing is, and I touched on it earlier on, the key for this game for me is being able to control the clock, keep their offense off the field as much as you can. You know, like Denver tried to do with us when we played them a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Run. Their run defense isn't great. If Taysom Hill is in at quarterback, I fear for his life with Chris Jones going up against Andres Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see Hill taking, if Hill's the quarterback, I can't see him taking many dropbacks. I really think this is going to be short passes, short quick passes, and lots of running the ball.
It needs to be. I've lost my faith in Taysom's ability to. If he's not told to throw it right away, then he's going to second guess himself. And that's when he's going to get in trouble. And with this offensive line, you can't second guess anything. You've got to throw it to your first read and hope for the best.
But it would have been hard to win this game, I think, with a healthy Breeze. I mean, maybe not hard, but it would have been a better game. If Breeze plays, I guess it depends on how healthy he is. Still could be a good game. I think
it's too early for somebody. He's too old to recover that quickly. There's no need to bring him back for this point. You put your number one seed in jeopardy.
Number one, that's a pipe dream. Number one seed's gone. I'm telling you, it's gone. So maybe you don't play him because of that. I don't know.
I'd rather he played Christmas Day than this weekend, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
That was my next question. Like, when do you bring him back? If not, you know, he's eligible to come back this game. I guess you just wait and see. I mean, do you bring him back for the final game to get him some rep before playoffs start?
I'd at least play him for some of that game. I don't want to look at how long it takes him to get into the rhythm of the season. when he doesn't play preseason games, then I mean
he sat out that last game a few times and been okay to play. I mean, that year we won Super Bowl, we lost the last three games of the year.
Yeah, sitting out the final game, sitting out your week 17 game is fine, but he's been out, he's
been out
for yeah, too long. I mean, games. He's like he hadn't played. He needs to get the old man needs to get his I mean, it takes him a week and or two just to get his muscles warmed up at this point.
I would say maybe sit him this game, play him Minnesota, and sit him for Carolina.
Yeah, something like that I could see. But yeah, now the defensive side, I do expect the defense to be up for this game. Like they're not going to be flat like they were against Philadelphia. I think they're all going to be this is not a hard game to get motivated for. They're going to want to be. So I think we're going to get an A-plus effort from everybody. Question is, who's coming back on defense?
Yeah, yeah. The only player that we missed on defense yesterday was Malcolm Brown.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Malcolm Brown was the only one on defense that didn't play yesterday. Otherwise, we were full strength.
It'll be interesting to see what our defense can do against them. Obviously, they have probably the number one tight end in the game. And Kelce.
Yeah.
We've always had trouble covering tight ends.
And Quan Alexander.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if we can cover him with one of those two guys now that we have both of them. Because we've always had issues in the past. We'll see if Hill plays. We'll see if Hilaire plays because he had some injury problems. I think he played this past game, but he's had some injury issues. So we'll see.
Well, they're definitely, the Chiefs are definitely they're not as intimidating a team, I think, as they were at the beginning of the season. They're beatable now. So
Teddy Bridgewater nearly beat them with Carolina.
Right.
Up 33-31. Derek Carr has beaten them, and look at the dumpster fire that the Raiders have turned into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Drew Lock and Denver nearly beat them.
Now this year, who'd they lose to this year? Who was their loss?
Raiders.
Raiders.
Week three.
But they're barely winning them. And I say that, like, I know it's a little hyperbolic. They're not blowing teams out. Mm-mm. And they haven't. I mean, you think about it. They've got the Raiders twice, the Broncos twice, and the Chargers twice. They have an easy cakewalk division as well. So they could be one of those Pittsburgh type teams where the reason their record is really more reflective of their schedule. And granted, not to say the Saints didn't have a difficult schedule this year either. I mean, it was tougher than some.
To see kind of the chess match with Andy Reid and
Sean Payton.
I guess Dennis Allen and Sean Payton. So that'll be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, their Chiefs defensive coordinator is the famous Steve Spagnuolo, isn't it? So
yeah.
Sean Payton's going to want to run this up. Score predictions?
If Breeze plays, it could be a shootout. Team that has the ball last wins. I'm going to go, the Saints are going to win 34-31.
I'm going to say Saints win 24-21.
I'm going to go Saints 21-19.
I'm going to go Chiefs 30, Saints 24.
Wait, what did you say?
Allowed? Is that allowed?
What did he say? That sounded like the Chiefs number was higher.
It did. That's what it sounded like to me.
Sorry. Something's wrong.
Just...
Hang on. Ben,
look,
Ben,
I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Ben used to do this on our podcast, and he got.
He used to pick the Falcons all the time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did always pick the Falcons.
I hope I'm wrong.
Pick any other team that beat us other than the Falcons.
I hope I'm wrong, but
are you going with the reverse psychology thing with this, Scott? Is that what you're going with?
I can't say that I am because that would reverse the reverse.
In other words,
double fake reverse. Yeah.
In other words, with Ben, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your score
prediction. The thing is, actually, Scott knows what he's talking about. That's the difference.
I really don't.
Maybe more than Ben, but it's not saying much. There's a low bar there.
Now, hang on. He's not here to defend himself. And even if he was, he wouldn't be able to. So,
fuck him. If none of us was you, he'd probably be slagging us off as well. So, fuck him. He's going into lockdown soon anyway. So, ha 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 ha.
All right. Anybody got a final thought that's not about Ben?
How about them Tigers pulling the upset against Florida?
Yeah, they
at least we had some good news this weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was the peak of the weekend, is waking up Sunday morning, seeing what the score was, and then reading through all the tweets and all the shoe jokes that were being made. Shoe game.
Will always be known as the shoe game, for sure.
The LSU Tigers.
LSU.
Yeah, that was awesome. I suppose my final thought is, we've still won 10 games. We're still a really good team. We're in the playoffs. We just need to seal the division. It's all good. We're going to be fine.
Okay.
My final thought is, same as James, we won 10 games. All you negative people, pull your heads out your ass. You spoiled little bastards. Enjoy a 10-win season.
It's probably going to be a 12-win season.
Yeah.
11 at worst. 11 at worst. We're going to beat Minnesota. The question is whether or not we play to win against Carolina. So we still have two more wins left in this, that capable wins, if we choose to have them. So Kansas City might be the only loss. And if we don't lose to them, then now you're going to be looking at a 13-3 season. And boy, how stupid are you going to feel that you complained?
Exactly.
You're right.
Jeff.
What? Don't talk about me.
I feel that you complained.
I didn't complain about the Saints. I complained about Taysom.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference.
My bad.
That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network of Podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, that's this one, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, that's the other one that published today, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Yes, I should have put Ann taking it over. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer Media, and follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Also, follow us on Facebook for live streams when we do them. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And then if you want to listen to us the super old-fashioned way, get on that rotary phone, dial into AOL, and go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, wide open receiver donkeys. Good night, Houdat Nation.